KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 52 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 80. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Authorities in Creston report two arrests at around 2:10 a.m. today. 47-year-old Chuck Johnson of Des Moines was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a charge of public intoxication. Johnson was being held at the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. Friday night, 29-year-old Samuel Vermalm of Creston was arrested at the Walmart there for theft in the fifth degree. Vermalm was cited and released at the scene on a summons to appear in court. The Atlantic City Council is scheduled to hold a meeting Wednesday evening at 5:30 in their chambers at City Hall. Action items on their agenda include an order to partially close the alley behind the Fireside Lounge on Saturday, September 26th, from 11 a.m. until midnight for a fundraiser to benefit Ryan Ward. The second reading of an amended ordinance pertaining to sanitary sewer system hookup requirements and billing for those on a septic system. Also, the council will have a public hearing on an ordinance vacating a phantom dead-end alley that does not connect to another street located in Pellets Addition to the City of Atlantic. The first reading of an ordinance vacating the aforementioned alley, and they'll act on approving the street finance report for fiscal year 2019-20. Other business includes a resolution approving the transfer of funds for the first quarter of FY 2020-21, a routine process the city often uses to transfer money between its 26 separate funds to make the budget work effectively. A final action item for the council Wednesday is approving a change order with regard to the downtown facade improvement project in the amount of $15,611, bringing the entire project total to $427,766. Which, with several participants having dropped out, still saves the city a substantial amount of money, according to City Administrator John Lund. In celebration of the 100th anniversary of Iowa State Parks in 2020, you're being invited to join the staff and friends of the group of Lake Anita State Park on September 26th to help care for the park at a special cleanup event. Nearly 30 parks across Iowa are hosting volunteer events. Todd Kofelt, DNR Bureau Chief of State Parks, says Iowa State Parks are important places to many people enjoy for their natural beauty and outdoor recreation. We know that volunteering in state parks is important to many people who want to help care for them, and statewide volunteer day, he says, is a great opportunity to lend a hand. A volunteer event at Lake Anita State Park will begin at 9 a.m. Saturday, September 26th. Volunteers will help add rock along the multi-use trail in various spots. As an alternative, volunteers can also pick up trash around the campground. You need to bring your gloves, some hard rakes, brooms, or blowers if you have them. For other details about statewide volunteer day, go to www.iowadnr.gov/volunteers. The activities will be unique for each park depending on cleanup needs, but may include litter pickup, staining or painting buildings, planting trees, clearing trails, and more. Park staff will encourage social distancing. Volunteers are encouraged to share their activities on social media with the hashtag IowaStateParks100. Jury trials resume this week in Iowa after a couple of pilot trials to try out social distancing and COVID-19 prevention measures. Supreme Court Justice Matthew McDermott co-chaired a committee which reviewed and made recommendations on the issue and said they surveyed the judges.
For the most part, all of the judges that we talked to that had these trials seemed to indicate that there weren't nearly as many issues as they perhaps, you know, thought there might be. And by and large, the trials went a little faster.
He says they'd like to think the months of preparation and planning made the pilot trials go well. The recommendations call for clear shields to be worn in the courtroom so jurors can both see and hear witnesses in the trials. McDermott said that was one issue they had to be sure worked.
They had to space people apart pretty far to get the physical distancing there. And so with masks and with that distance, we've had to focus a lot on trying to make sure that people can see and hear everything that's going on. And so we're really trying to work hard to ensure sight lines and audio amplification.
And jurors in the pilot gave an average score of 4.88 out of a scale of 5 was the best in how they could see the proceedings. Some attorneys noted that instantaneous communication with their clients was made more challenging because of the face coverings. There was a concern that more jurors would not show up because of the pandemic, but McDermott said that was not the case.
It was about the expected number that you would see from people asking to defer or for whatever other reason they might have for not being able to serve on that day. And so we were pretty encouraged by that at least at this point, with three trials, and granted it's a fairly small sample size, but we didn't see a whole lot of people saying that they weren't comfortable serving.
Justice McDermott said they'll watch for outbreaks in particular counties as part of monitoring as the jury trials resume. He said the judges in each trial will make the decisions on proceeding.
District courts have pretty broad discretion in, and they had that even prior to COVID, and so they can look at all of the issues that are going on in their case, and they are the ones that'll make that call whether a case ultimately moves forward at this time.
He says it's hard to tell when each court may be caught up.
The case backups differ by county, and obviously we have 99 counties, and different counties that maybe have busier dockets have a bit more of a backlog that they're going to have to work through.
There is a protocol, he says, for which cases will be heard.
Some counties, they're going to be dealing with criminal cases because that's kind of the first priority of case that needs to be dealt with. They'll be dealing with those for some time. And other counties where maybe there isn't quite the backlog on criminal cases, they'll be moving to civil cases.
McDermott points out that a lot has been going on in the courts and with cases while the jury trials were put on hold. He said there have been filings and motions and depositions being taken as everyone prepares to return. One of the people at the top of the legal ladder in Iowa will find himself in a new position today. Iowa Supreme Court Justice Matthew McDermott from Carroll says he got a notice asking him to report for jury duty.
I've never previously been called for jury duty, but I'm set to be juror number 299 in Polk County.
Lawyers on both sides question members of the jury pool and each can remove or strike a juror if they choose. McDermott is not sure if his status at the top of the court system will lead to a seat on the jury box.
I don't know. Oftentimes lawyers tend to strike other lawyers, and certainly I think lawyers might be inclined to strike judges.
McDermott said it's a role in the legal process that he's interested in seeing how it all works.
I'm excited by it. I mean, obviously, as a citizen, there are a lot of kind of public opportunities that you have to kind of do your civic duty. You can vote, you can serve on a jury. I've never had this chance. And, the irony is, of course, that I've spent a lot of time working on some of the protocols to make sure that we can have fair and safe jury trials.
He says he is prepared for anything that might happen.
I wouldn't be shocked if ultimately I wasn't one of the names that was actually in that jury box when the trial starts.
McDermott was appointed to the High Court by the governor in April to replace retiring Justice David Wiggins. And finally, in state news, the Iowa Department of Corrections Sunday said 33-year-old Dennis George DeVore III, who was convicted of domestic abuse, assault by impeding airflow, and other crimes in Blackhawk County, failed to report back to the Waterloo residential facility as required Sunday morning. DeVore is a white male, 5 feet 6 inches tall, weighing about 208 pounds. He was admitted to the work release facility on August 24th. Anyone with information about his whereabouts should contact local police. A picture of the man is in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.